দুইজন নিথাই গৌরচন্দ্র পরম করুণা পাহুন দুইজন নিথাই গৌরচন্দ্র সবা অবতার সরশিরোমণি কেবল আনন্দ কাণ্ড সারা শিরোমণি কেবল আনন্দ কাণ্ড বাজো বাজো বাই চৈতন্য নিথায় সুদৃঢ় বিশ্বাস করি বিষয়াচ্ছাদিয়া সেরা সে মাজিয়া মুখে বলো হরি হরি দেখো রে ভাই ত্রিভুবনে নাই এ মন দয়ালদাতা আশু পাখি জোরে হাসনা বিদারে শুনি যারা গুণ কথা সংসারে মাজিয়া রোহিলি ফদিয়া সে পদে নহিল আশা আপন করাম ভুঞ্চয় সমান কহো এলো ছন দাস পরম করুণা পাহুন দুইজন নিথাই গৌরচন্দ্র সবা অবথা সরশিরোমণি কেবল আনন্দ কাণ্ড
I have no voice, so I'll speak for just a few minutes, and then Janani Vas Prabhu will speak. It is a very auspicious and happy event that we are participating in today. A very sincerely devoted family is welcoming the deities of Sri Gaur Nittai in their homes. And it is especially fortunate that the head pujari of the universe, Jananivas Prabhu, is presiding over the occasion. Srila Prabhupada, quoting from the previous acharyas, declared that Sri Mayapur Dham is the center of the universe, because it is from there that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is spreading throughout the three worlds. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada made Sri Mayapur Dham his international headquarters. Now, Srinathji Prabhu, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, and some of our other devotees who are leaders of international corporations would know from the material sense, for a worldwide organization to make its international headquarters in Sri Mayapur Dham is something very interesting. Especially at that time, in 1970-71, practically no one went to Mayapur. It was just grassy fields, few Gaudiya Mathas, and some of the people of Gaudiya Mathas would come there on pilgrimage. When Prabhupada first took devotees to Sri Mayapur Dham, it seemed like the most isolated, primitive place on the planet. It was just this muddy field infested with snakes and mosquitoes. And Prabhupada set up a straw-thatched hut, and with complete conviction, he stated that this Mayapur Dham is the center of the universe. And in that little thatched hut, he declared, "We have now established the international headquarters for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness." This is spiritual vision. Vision does not take into consideration material calculations. Because it was there in Sri Navadvip Dham that the Yugavatar, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared. It was in Sri Mayapur Dham that Lord Chaitanya inaugurated the Harinam Sankirtan movement and predicted that this movement of causeless mercy through the chanting of the holy name will spread throughout the entire world. Krishna Varnam Tvisakrishnam Sango Pangasha Parashanam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Yajantehi Shumedasha. Srimad Bhagavatam tells that in this age of Kali, those who have good intelligence, they will worship that beautiful golden form of Lord Chaitanya. How? By worshipping him and his associates through the loud chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Kali Yuga is a time when there is disagreement, which brings about quarrel and terrible hypocrisy, where religion is taken to be irreligion and irreligion is taken to be religion. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, Srila Vyasadeva describes some of the symptoms that develop in human society in the Kali Yuga. And we see that these predictions are very much coming true. Previously, people were honored and respected for their virtues, for their morality, for their spiritual wisdom, compassion, and realization. But in the age of Kali, people will be honored and respected because of the shape and form of their bodies, because of how much money and power they have. The type of adoration and respect and popularity that used to be given to great sadhus is now given to musicians and movie and television actors and actresses and athletes and politicians. According to the type of people that we make our leaders and give respect to, the society comes down to their level. So now people are so greedy. Greedy for fame and prestige. Greedy for money. That even family members become enemies and go into the courts fighting over these artificial necessities for sense gratification. And such imminent wars throughout the world based on resources for money like oil or minerals or some land for military strategic positioning. So much conflict. Instead of using our good intelligence to understand the difference between the body and the soul, we're using our intelligence to create nuclear energy and nuclear bombs. This is the age of Kali. So much hypocrisy. And even within religious systems, people lose their faith. They become so disappointed due to hypocrisy. And it's a time when people do not even respect the obvious traditional concept of Guru Parampara. And they accept any charismatic person who even has the courage and the foolishness to call themselves God. And millions of followers, because they can show some cheap tricks. Some of them are mystics and some of them are just expert magicians. That is God. So cheap. One man came from India and declared he was God. And he, hundreds and thousands of disciples declaring him God. So one devotee, while he was giving a lecture to 10,000 people in a big, big stadium, he ran up to him and threw a pie in his face. Of course, the disciples beat up the devotee, but the devotee was very happy. He's the supreme controller and of all controllers, and he couldn't even prevent me from throwing a pie in his face. And he didn't, it's not that he just said, my will be done, and the pie disappeared. No, he had to go off stage and take a bath and everything else and change his clothes. And then, After that, his disciples said, oh, this is his lila. This is his lila. In the name of religion. So much conflict. So much anxiety in the age of Kali. Kali Yuga is an ocean of problems, ocean of faults. No one knows what will happen next. And crazy, inconceivable type diseases come in Kali that were not there in Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, or Satya Yuga. Smallpox, bubonic plague, cancer, hepatitis, AIDS, heart disease. In previous yugas, people would just live their life in good health until it was time for them to leave their body, unless they were killed by a demon. But in Kali Yuga, the enemies are not only outside of us, but they're even inside in the form of these diseased bacteria that just kill you. At any least expected moment, it could take place. But the worst enemy in the age of Kali is the enemy of the mind. How Maya works through the mind to cheat us moment after moment from our natural human right of loving Krishna and experiencing the bliss of his mercy. And even those who come in contact with real sadhus and hear the truth, what a battle it is to try to somehow or other fight against our conditionings. This is the age of Kali. But there is one benediction that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended with Lord Nityananda Prabhu to spread the glories of the holy name. And simply by accepting their mercy through Harinam Sankirtan, one can attain the perfection of liberation. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy is so inconceivably glorious that the same Srimad Bhagavatam, which declares the atrocious symptoms of Kali Yuga, explains the great rishis and learned souls, they worship Kali as the greatest and best of all ages. Because where there's the most hopeless and helpless situation, there's the greatest necessity of causeless mercy. Kalo Shudra Sambhave. In previous ages, people were born Brahmins, Kshatriyas, but in Kali, everyone's born Shudra or less. Very difficult age. To be proud of anything in Kali Yuga is utter ignorance. But because the people of this age are in the most helpless, most hopeless, and most fallen condition, the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, gives the easiest process by which we can attain the highest destination. The scriptures tell us that in Treta Yuga, so many thousands, tens and thousands of years of meditation, Satya Yuga. In Treta Yuga, performance of Yajna, very difficult. In Dwapara Yuga, perfect worship of the Lord in the temple. But in Kali Yuga, simply by chanting the holy name sincerely in the association of devotees, one can attain the same destination. This mercy is all due to the descent of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Thus, Lochan Das Thakur, who is an intimate, loving disciple of Narahari Sarakar, who was a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Gadadhar Pandit. He has written this song from the love of his heart, from the gratitude of his very soul. Paramakaruna pahundui jana nitai gorachandra. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are supremely kind, supremely merciful. Saba avatara sara siromani kevala anandakanda. They are the essence of all avatars, and they have come to give a process that can be practiced by anyone. Srila Prabhupada would often tell us, even these small children, tell them to sit with their back direct and meditate and focus their mind on the object of their meditation for 2 hours. They cannot do. But tell them to dance and to sing and to take prasad, and they will happily do. They are becoming purified. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the most suitable deities to worship, because by their mercy, we naturally and spontaneously enter into the divine realm of Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. Because Radha Krishna's divine pastimes are very intimate and confidential. They cannot actually be approached by theoretical memorization. They must be approached through a genuinely pure heart, which is utterly free of any tinge of false ego. But they are most often misconceived and misunderstood. But Krishna and Sri Radharani appear as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one form, in the role of a devotee, to teach us how to love them and approach them. And he comes with Lord Balaram in the form of Sri Nityananda Prabhu to teach us by his divine instructions how to actually worship Lord Chaitanya. By worshiping Lord Chaitanya, one has the most immediate and effective access to Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. In the worship of Radha Krishna, any offense is held seriously against the practitioner. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts no offenses. Nityananda Prabhu, he was beat on the head by Madhai with the intent of killing him. And he didn't even consider that an offense. Therefore, Paramakaruna, supremely kind. And we worship them, we are worshipping Radha Krishna. We are worshipping Krishna Balaram directly, but in the safest, most practical form. And the essence of the worship is to become completely attached to the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. There are many, many rules and regulations for proper deity worship, and so many mantras. Many years ago, not so many, in the context of eternity, it was only about 25 years ago. When I was pujari in America at New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada personally instructed me on a very simple form of worship. And then he said, if you want to further elaborate in your worship, you should consult Janani Vas Prabhu, who is the head pujari of Sri Mayapur Dham, the international society's headquarters. So I was not allowed to leave New Vrindavan in those days, and Janani Vas Prabhu was not allowed to leave Mayapur in those days, and there was no emails by Radha Vrindavan Chandra and Radha Madhava's mercy. So we wrote letters. We had no typewriters. We would just write hand letters to each other. And the communication was so sweet and so wonderful. We've forgotten how sweet normal communication could be in this fast age of electronic passions. And for several years, he would write and I would write. And I just patiently waited for the reply. And he's not so prompt in answering his letters. But when that letter came, Prabhupada is speaking to me again through his intimate loving servant. And the type of deity worship he taught me, before even touching the deities, I would have to chant mantras for about 45 minutes. Something like that, you remember? We'd have to do all these installations of every article and all these different mantras for purifying the mind and purifying the eyes and purifying every part of your body and purifying your mind and purifying your heart and then forgiving offenses before you make your offenses. So many mantras. Mantras to Guru and mantras to Gauranga and mantras to Radha and to Krishna and to the Parampara. It's very nice. But Prabhupada explained, it's very nice if you learn all these mantras and do all this worship, but if you don't have the capacity to do all these mantras or the time, anything you offer, if you just chant Hare Krishna mantra with it, it is perfect and complete. Yes? Perfect and complete. The Maha Mantra is so simple. Even the smallest child knows the Maha Mantra within our movement. Even little babies. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Parents smile. That mantra, so simple. This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. In just the past yuga, what to speak of Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga. If you worship the deities, you had to know tens and thousands of mantras for every little thing you did, and you had to pronounce them perfectly. Otherwise, aparad. But in Kali Yuga, even if you don't chant Maha Mantra properly, if you just get one name properly, it's sufficient. That is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Mahaprabhu's mercy. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The holy name of Krishna and Sri Radharani have descended from Goloka Vrindavan to deliver us. Prajandra Nandana Jay Sachi Sutta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai. Krishna and Balaram have appeared as Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram, is also Ananga Manjari, the sister of Srimati Radharani. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, his mercy can bring us to the elevation of any of the highest of the rasas of the spiritual world. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was very, very much out of his mercy encouraging the devotees to worship Gaur Nitai. In Atlanta, Georgia, He installed beautiful, large brass deities of Gaur Nitai. And he sang the song Parama Karuna. And when he began to explain the kindness, the love, the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, he began to cry and became stunned and so choked up with emotion, with ecstasy, that he could not even speak. Prabhupada was seeing Gaur Nitai have personally come to this degraded city in America to personally bestow their causeless mercy, their unlimited kindness upon everyone. That was his ecstasy. Meditating on the supreme, most causeless mercy of Nitai Gaurachandra. Worshipping of the deities in one's home is the prescribed method for grihasthas who live outside of the main temple, because it actually gives meaning, spiritual meaning, to everything we do. The illusion that keeps us within material entanglement is that we are thinking in terms of I and mine. Very, very terrible diseases of the heart. This idea that anything is mine. It's my house, it's my family, it's my wealth, it's my position. But if it is yours, then no one can take it away from you. But the reality is the laws of material nature. Everything can be taken away at any moment. So nothing is mine. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharaman. Krishna is the controller of material nature. Janmadhya shagata. Everything is emanating from Krishna, the absolute truth. Bhoktaram jagatapasam saravalokameheshwaram. That means everything is the property of Krishna. Everything within all planets. So brahmachari, it's somewhat easier, brahmachari, sannyasi, to think that nothing is mine. Because theoretically, you don't really have that much. But of course, we know the story of Ramanujacharya, when his brahmachari disciples were actually fighting and actually accusing each other over who was tampering with their kopan. Arivo. Pauper can be very much proud about the possession of his little penny. But for grihastha, you have a home, you may have a car, you have a husband or a wife, you have children, you have bank balance, you have so many articles in your home. The illusion is easily there to think, this is mine. I am this body, I am the enjoyer, and this is mine to enjoy, this is mine to claim proprietorship over. But Rishabhdev explains that this is a result of an animalistic mentality like that of our dogs and hogs. When you become attached to sense gratification, like the lower species, then you start thinking in terms of I and mine. So how to counteract that? According to the authorized, bona fide Mayavadis, you have to give it all up and take sannyas. Because it's all an illusion. Now, there are so many Mayavadi and impersonalists who say, you just stay home and you just do some meditation and you become God. But that is not actually the classical, traditional philosophy of Mayavad. No. Shankaracharya taught, if you really want to attain that Brahman realization, you have to give up everything and take sannyas. How can you be in a situation of a home and everything and actually think that it's not yours? Give it up. Come to Varnaris and study Vedanta with the rest of us. That was Prakashananda. Saraswati. But the path of bhakti is so powerful. So effective. How to actually be in the proper consciousness that nothing is mine, everything belongs to Krishna. Not just theoretically, not just I know Krishna, everything is Krishna. And you ask, somebody does something wonderful, and after taking all the credit here in India, then he goes, he did it, he did it. You have seen? First the person boasts, I have done this, I have done this. Actually, he did it. You think Krishna takes that serious? Actually practical. Spiritual life must be practical. Otherwise, it has no substance. So when we take the deity of Krishna with the blessings of Guru, with the prayers and good wishes of the Vaishnavas, and we welcome the deities into our home, the idea is, Krishna, this home is yours. My body is yours. My family is yours. My bank balance is yours. All the accessories within this home and appliances are yours. And that cannot just be a theoretical conception too. That must be practical. If it is yours, let me learn how to use it for your pleasure. We have seen people, I've seen it here in Bombay, where people have their deities on top of their television. That's their altar. They have their deities on top of their television and they watch television. They do their puja, then they turn on the television. Haribo. And the deities have to listen to all that. I've also seen a very nice altar. And I happened to look at the altar, and behind the altar was the place where they keep all their bottles of liquor and whiskey. Do you remember? Very amazing. So this kind of deity worship is idol worship. It's actually idol worship. The difference between the spirit of idol worship and deity worship is Gopi Bharatur Pada Kamalayor Das 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 Nanu Das. We're actually in the spirit of service. Not that we bring the deity in our house so that we can enjoy them, so that we could see them. We have variety. First we watch the deity, then we watch the television. Actually, the deity will not reciprocate unless we're in a spirit of service. Thus, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur repeatedly told us, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he is happy to see you. So that is the spirit of putting the deity in our home. That not that the deity is there for us to look at. That we have invited Krishna into our home so that he will be looking at us. Hare Krishna. Whatever we speak, whatever we say, whatever we do, Krishna is here. We've already given our home to him. We've already promised, this is for your pleasure. We're your servants. What is our service attitude? If we do not have that type of service attitude, if we're not really all the Saivites of Krishna in his temple, within our home, then it is like idol worship. We must understand the real spirit of bhakti and the powerful effect in people's lives when the deity is in the home. Historically, there are so many instances. Srila Prabhupada would often talk about what an impression it made him every morning when he would wake up as a child. He would hear the bells ringing in the temple. And he would come and he would see his father there worshipping their deities of Radha Govinda. And the mother was doing her seva. She was cooking. She was doing various pujas. And the father was doing his puja and chanting and singing the glories of the Lord. And through the day, he experienced the whole house was revolved around Radha Govinda. And every evening sadhus would be invited. And the whole family would work together to serve the sadhus. They wouldn't eat until all the sadhus were satisfied. And they would bless, the sadhus would bless according to Gaur Mohan Day's desire. He never asked, give me more money. Give me more prestige. Give me better health. Please bless my child that he will be a dear servant of Sri Radharani, that Radharani's mercy will bestow upon him. So when a child is in that environment, then naturally the child just grows up loving Krishna. Now for most of us, we know when we come to Krishna consciousness, how many knots that we've tied, thousands and thousands and millions of knots we've just tied that we have to somehow or other try to untie. How much garbage that we've put it within our hearts throughout our life that we have to clean up. Isn't it nice from the very beginning you're just taught to love Krishna? Serve Krishna and love his devotees. So that is why we put the deities within our homes. And Gaur Nitai are most very, very merciful. If we learn to serve and love Gaur Nitai, then our lives will be perfect. We were discussing the other day, it was Jiva Goswami's disappearance day. That beautiful story of Jiva Goswami's childhood. When he was very small child, it wasn't long after he was born. He saw his two uncles, Sakar Malik and Dabir Khas, with father, Sri Ballabha. In the middle of the night, they took off their royal clothes as the high ministers of the king, Nawab Husain Shah. And they put on ordinary beggar's clothes, like a Vaishnav. And then in darkness of the night, they quietly left the house. Now, this is interesting to a small child. Yes, Dhananjay Prabhu? If your parents did that in the middle of the night, you would probably follow them. What are they up to? We've never seen them like this. So they saw them put straw between their teeth, cloth around their necks, and fall at the feet of Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu and beg them, please, without your mercy we cannot approach Lord Chaitanya. So Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, what exalted personalities that they are. that Rupa and Sanatana Goswami first surrendered to them, begging for mercy to approach Lord Chaitanya. So if even Rupa and Sanatana and Raghunath Das Goswami, who taught the highest principles of pure love for Radha and Krishna, even they approached Lord Chaitanya through Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. Raghunath Das Goswami also. The first impression for him to surrender to Lord Chaitanya came through Haridas Thakur's association. So to think we can jump over these two personalities is foolishness. Then when they came before the Lord by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Haridas, they surrendered. Tears flowing. We are the most fallen. We are the most unfortunate. You are Patita Pavan. And who are we? We are sinful. We are addicted to bad habits. We speak nonsense. We are serving Malechas and Yavanas. There's no good qualities in us. Jagai and Madhai are pious, righteous compared to us. Haribo. And they meant it. They were not just speaking something superficially. In this way, they begged for mercy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his lotus feet on their heads. He wept and cried, "Stop this talking, your humility is breaking my heart." Now Rupa Goswami is our Sampradaya Acharya. And Lord Chaitanya empowered him to reveal the highest secrets of the spiritual world of Vrindavan. But if we're actually serious, we should understand why did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empower Rupa Goswami in this way to understand these secrets? The first qualification that Rupa Goswami attracted the Lord's heart with was his humility. Today, people read the esoteric literatures of Rupa Goswami and proudly say, "I am better than you because I know this subject matter better than you." But how can you understand it unless you have the humility of Rupa Goswami, thinking there's no one more fallen than me, there's no one more undeserving me? If you think you're better than Jagai and Madhai, you're not qualified to understand. Haribo. What to speak of another Vaishnav? So this is the foundation of Rupa Goswami's receiving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And Mahaprabhu told the devotees, "I invested all of my realizations and love in the heart of Rupa Goswami because he was so humble." And Sanatana Goswami as well. Lord Chaitanya picked them up and embraced them. And gave them the names Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. That was really their, in spirit, that was their initiation. And little Jiva Goswami was watching the whole thing, according to Bhakti Ratnakar. And that impression of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mercy really, really deeply went into his heart. And then his father and his two uncles just renounced the world and went to Vrindavan. Haribo. Then his father left his body. And little Jiva Goswami, he was just Jiva then. He had no concern for materialistic life. Although his uncles, his father, were very, very wealthy multimillionaires. And they gave a large fortune to the family members, which included him. He would have never had to work for the rest of his life. He could have lived in luxury forever, but he cared nothing for anything. He had made deities of Krishna Balaram from his smallest childhood. And how he worshipped those deities of Krishna and Balaram. That was his only life. He had no other purpose. While all the other children were playing sports and games, he was picking flowers and making garlands for Krishna and Balaram. He would pick fruits and offer them to Krishna and Balaram. He would dance and sing for Krishna and Balaram. He would offer prayers to Krishna and Balaram. He would make nice little houses and nice little singasans for Krishna and Balaram. So wonderful. And one night, he had a dream where he was worshipping Krishna Balaram. And then all of a sudden, he had this dream where Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu manifested before him. They placed their feet on his head and began to speak very sweet words of benedictions upon him. And then he saw right before his eyes Lord Nityananda Prabhu transformed into the deity of Balaram, his own deity, and Lord Chaitanya transformed into the deity of Krishna. So he had personal divine revelation that Krishna Balaram have now appeared as Gornitai to bestow their causeless mercy upon all. I'm very happy and pleased with this wonderful family. Nitya Krishna Prabhu, Brajalila Devi Dasi, and Sweta Manjari Devi Dasi. Whole family is very sincere, dedicated devotees who have taken lifelong vows of devotion. Very exemplary. Nitya Krishna Prabhu and his good wife Brajalila, they're exemplary professionals. He is a dentist. He has gone from dental to transcendental. In fact, today he was drilling some of my teeth with all these things in my mouth. And as he was drilling, he said, "Tell me if there's pain." And how can I tell him? Tried to move my feet, thinking maybe he will see my feet moving. Anyways, he's a first-class dentist. I could understand. First-class dentist. But not only is he a dentist, but he's a transcendentist. He's a counselor. He and his Rajlila and Nitya Krishna Prabhu, they have about 25 counselees. They have regular weekly preaching programs here. He's also, once a month, he goes to Satara. They go to Satara to be counselors and give guidance to the devotees there. So many places they go for preaching. So really, their home, their lives, their everything is to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission and the Vaishnavas. And give Krishna consciousness to the conditioned souls. Their home is a preaching center. And they're touching so many people's hearts by their incredible example in life. And it is this type of example that is most required in this world today. There's so many bad examples. But here is a family who are living together very happily. Our Sweta Manjari, she was sent to Bangalore for college. I think she's also studying to be a dentist. Yes, but she's already transcendentist. They already have PhDs. In fact, you are all PhD. Today, I all bestow upon you the honor of PhD. Because you are serving Prabhupada, you are Paramhamsa Das. So if anyone asks for your credibility, you can tell them PhD. It's like there's Dr. Govinda. Doctor of the soul. He's a real doctor. Preachers are doctors of the soul. So our little Sweta Manjari, from her little childhood, by her parents' influence, she's just so enthusiastic to chant and to dance and to pray and to serve. And now she's going to college. But how attached she is to devotees. Even in Bangalore, the only society she has is she just goes wherever the devotees are and does programs and preaches. And whenever she's leaving Bombay, she's weeping. Torrents of tears flow from her eyes in separation from the devotees, from the deities. She's just completely attached to Krishna. So really, we have all come here today to give our honor and gratitude to this wonderful family. And they are so good in heart that they do not want to just bring Gornitai into their home. They know that what will serve Gornitai most is to serve the devotees. So they have invited several hundred people into their homes so that they can serve them and receive their prayers and their blessings. And then everything becomes auspicious. So let us all pray that Shri Gornitai will shower their great, great mercy upon this wonderful family. At this time, the moment you have all been waiting for, Sri Jananivas Prabhu will speak to us.
Hare Krishna. So I'd like to thank very much Nitya Krishna and his family for inviting me here, along with Radhanath Maharaj and all the devotees, to take part in this very wonderful function of the installation of Shri Gornitai. People often ask about the pastimes of the Lord, the pastimes of deities. And out of their great humility, they're asking these questions, but factually, this is the pastime of Gornitai. Actually, everyone here now today is engaged in the pastime of Gornitai. See, when Krishna came 5,000 years ago, he came to kill the demons and establish religion. So he killed Kamsa and Dandavakra, Shishupal, so many demons. He established his pastimes, spoke Bhagavad Gita. Then everything was finished, he wound everything, they all went back to Golok. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with the same mission to establish the religion of the age, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he began his mission. And he has said that in every town and village of the world, the holy name of Krishna will be heard, the holy names of God will be chanted. This was his mission. But we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left after 48 years, but he didn't actually fulfill his mission. Because in every town and village of the world, they weren't chanting the names of Krishna. Only in India and some local areas around. And we see it wasn't until actually Srila Prabhupada went to the Western in 1966 that he actually fulfilled this prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's still going on in all different places of the world that the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being established all over the world. So what we're witnessing here today, because we're in a village or a town, and what is being established here is Krishna consciousness. So this is actually the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we are actually living in. What Srila Prabhupada created, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is like an extension of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because it is a fulfilling the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord is absolute. That means himself, his pastime, his desire are non-different. So what we're doing here right now is fulfilling the Lord's desire. That means he's present because of his absolute nature. And we see the wonderful examples of Nitya Krishna and his family establishing Gaura Nitya, gone to such a great extent, so much trouble, so much expense to do this, to get very beautiful deities made in Jayapur, to make very beautiful palace for them. We can see the little palace very soon, I hope. And it's very gorgeous. It's such extent, so much trouble. It's not just because it's fashionable to have Gaura Nitya deities or anything like that. No, he's making them a very beautiful home. And from this home, people will come, and as Maharaj said, he also goes out and simply engages people in Krishna consciousness, get them to chant the holy names of the Lord, and engage in Krishna consciousness. So this is actually the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the extension of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. And anybody who takes part in that is actually taking part in the Lord's pastimes. And the only thing material about this International Society for Krishna Consciousness that Prabhupada has given us is the person's consciousness who thinks it's material. So out of great humility, many of the devotees here are asking, what about the pastimes of the Lord? But you are the ones who are actually involved in the pastime. You are actually helping to spread the mission of the Lord. You're actually involved, and then they come out and ask me, can you tell some pastimes of the Lord? But you're actually involved, you are part of the pastime of the Lord. This is the wonderful nature of Krishna consciousness. It's a purely transcendental movement of Lord Chaitanya. See, generally to take part in the pastimes of Krishna, to assist Krishna, to serve Krishna, one has to be qualified. Krishna says in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that only those people who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, all their sins are completely eradicated, they're free from all kinds of duality and delusion, they're completely purified. Only they can take to my service. It means you've got to be purified from previous lives and this life, then you can actually take to Krishna's service. And this is the usual program. Throughout the Vedas, you will find this is the system. When all the different avatars of Krishna are appearing here, this is the process. You actually have to be completely purified to actually render service to Krishna. That is the requisition. You have to be purified. You cannot approach Krishna with material consciousness, because Krishna is purely spiritual. How you can serve spirit with material consciousness? So the prerequisite is that you have to be purified. And then you can serve Krishna, because our eternal nature is that we are Krishna's servants. So we may say when that it becomes very difficult for us to serve Krishna in his different forms. And yes, it is difficult because we find it very difficult to become completely purified. But in this form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahabharanaya, who is so kind, so merciful, that he's not going to consider your position. Whether you are purified or whether you are not purified, he's not going to take it into consideration. But all he's taking into consideration is that you please accept the service of Krishna that I'm offering you. He has come to give us Krishna's service. And he's not considering that you are qualified or not qualified in previous births or this birth. Whatever position you are in right now, you can serve Krishna by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this was not available practically in any other part time of the universe. You don't get an opportunity like this, because you have to be purified. It's only when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he gives you this opportunity to actually to serve Krishna. And his mission he has established, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is predicted and given this information in the Navadita Mahatmya, that he said, look, Lord Nityananda predicted the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that that in Navadvip there will be after about 400 years after the Lord's disappearance, the Ganga will constantly come and flood the whole area, and the pastimes will be lost, and the teachings also will be very much lost. But after 400 years, again, the task of restoring the place and the pastimes will come alive again. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a great pioneer in restoring Krishna consciousness. And he said, Nityananda Prabhu said, many, many bathing ghats will be built on the Ganga, many, many dwelling places, houses will be built there. Now if you go, you see hundreds of houses. It's amazing how many houses are coming up all around Mayapur. This is a prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many ISKCON devotees, but also so many Gaudiya Math devotees. All the opposite, the Gaudiya Math now, there's hundreds of little houses popping up. This is all the prediction of Nityananda Prabhu. Then he predicts that it will be a very astonishing temple, Adbhut Mandir. Very wonderful, astonishing. And from that temple, which was Prabhupada told us to build, Adbhut Mandir, very astonishing temple, but Prabhupada, in his non-mystical way, so go to Mayapur and build some skyscraper, like temple. That temple, he said, from that temple, it's Lord Chaitanya's desire, and he is absolute. It means it will come to pass. That something will come from that, it will spread all over the world. Love of God will spread all over the world. And in what form it will spread? Lord Nityananda Prabhu says, it will spread, what goes all over the world is service to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya has come to give us service to Krishna, because we're his eternal servants. And because we are not qualified to serve Krishna according to Gita, according to all the Vedas. We are not purified enough in Kali Yuga. Then Lord Chaitanya has given this special concession, that even though you are not qualified, I'm going to accept your service. Here, you please take. You please take this service to Krishna. He is so kind. This opportunity is not available throughout the universe. Throughout the rest of the day of Lord Brahma, which you cannot calculate the time. You won't get an opportunity like this again. So what we see here is actually a manifestation of that Lord Chaitanya's mercy. We're all Kali Yuga living entities. But we've been given the opportunity by Lord Chaitanya's mercy and the mercy of his devotees to actually render some service to Krishna. And he said, this is what's going to spread all over the world, service to Krishna. So we see that Prabhupada's society is actually the vehicle for serving the, for giving service to people, or giving people an opportunity to serve. It's a very astonishing thing, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. You cannot calculate actually how merciful Lord Chaitanya is. Narottam Das Thakur says that you understand the Lord's, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you understand the Lord's pastimes and his activities, his appearance and disappearance. You don't have to take birth again in the material world. Narottam says, if you understand the pastimes, the appearance and disappearance of his Lord's devotees, also you don't have to take birth again in the material world. So Srila Prabhupada was such a devotee that he came and he performed the pastime of spreading Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message in the form of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And anybody who understands it, he won't have to take birth again in the material world. This is Prabhupada's greatness, that he has made a declaration. Prabhupada said many, many times that you simply take to Krishna consciousness, you simply dance, you chant Hare Krishna, you take Krishna prasadam and you serve Krishna and the devotees favorably. And follow these principles. He said, and you can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. You'll never find that statement anywhere else throughout the Vedas, that you can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. It takes thousands and thousands of births. Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Jamananti, after thousands and thousands of births of being a wise man, Jnanabham, then you come to the point of Vasudeva Sarvamiti, then you can understand, oh, Krishna is everything. Then you can surrender to Krishna. That's just the beginning point. That is called Shambhanda. Then the next stage is Abhideya, the process. And the third stage is the result or the goal, Prayojana, or love of Godhead. So it takes thousands and thousands of births to come to the point of Shambhanda after being a wise man, according to Bhagavad Gita. Now, what to speak of progressing to the next stage, following the process and attaining the goal. But we see what Prabhupada has created in accordance with the instructions of Rupa Goswami and the devotees, his society, is that you meet a devotee and the first thing he says to you is, you know you're not the body, you're the other soul in the body. And you say, no, I didn't know that. Nobody told me that before. Yeah. His soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. You know who Krishna is? No, I don't know who Krishna is. Oh, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Really, I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me that before. Yeah, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you're his eternal servant. You're a part and parcel of him. Oh, really? That's Sambandha. And you, He says, come to the temple. You come, I'll show you some books, I'll show you some. You want to do, can you just clean these pots for you? Or you want to sweep the floor for a little bit? And he gives you some service. So that's the Abhideya. He gives you the process. So in Krishna consciousness, in one day, you can get Sambandha and you can get Abhideya, which usually takes thousands and thousands and thousands of lifetimes, according to Gita. But if you can understand how merciful Lord Chaitanya is, that he can give you this in one day he can give you the Sambandha relationship, understanding your relationship with Krishna and actual service to Krishna in one day. This mercy is not available. You just can't. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest scholar at that time. He lived in Puri. He was Brihaspati, the incarnation of Brihaspati in the heavenly planets. Imagine how vast his knowledge was. He said, I can't fathom the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. I just cannot fathom it. He's banging his head on the floor, on the wall. I cannot fathom the mercy of this. It's not anywhere in the Vedas. It's not described. So this is the mercy Prabhupada has so condensed into the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And so Prabhupada said very freely, yes, one life you'll go back home, back to God. Just finish off this business in one life. So, our problem's been solved. The problem is birth and death. Our problem's been solved, right? Now you have nothing to worry about. This is a big problem, you see, birth and death. Everybody is, they don't have the solution. Nobody has a solution for it. Prabhupada's given us a solution. He solved our problem. Yeah, you the big problem solved now. You're going to chant Hare Krishna, you're going back to Godhead in one life. So it's a fact, we have been saved. Now our business, how to save others. Yes, we've been given this wonderful gift of Krishna consciousness. Let's help give it to others. This is our only business. This is what Prabhupada showed us by his example. And this is what he wants us to follow. We take this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, take it, study it, become convinced. And then give it to others. So, this is an exhibition of the mercy that Nitya Krishna and his family are really imbibing this merciful mood of Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, why are they going to such extent? And now they're simply going to give to others. They're going to come and see my deities. We've got nice corner tie here. Take some deity prasad. As soon as they take that prasad, finished. So this is all an extension of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. So, we're very happy to be here, and we just, as Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. He really meant it. That's all we've got to do. Be happy in Krishna consciousness. Nitai go.